Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, folks. Welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am here, not necessarily excited, I am here to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets loss as the Denver Nuggets drop game one of their series to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Final score of that was 106-109. Tough one, obviously, for Denver to have go, and it's going to be one that I think, for obvious reasons, is going to panic a lot of people. And whether that's the right thing or not, like, just kind of is what it is. I tried to prepare everybody. I really did. I tried to prepare everybody for this, that Denver would be, well, I think my prediction in the Denvengers episode was that Denver would lose one of the first two games at home and then win one of the two road games. And it would be 2-2 coming back to Denver. What I did not expect was for Denver to get out to an 18-4 deficit immediately, to immediately put a bunch of pressure on themselves to try to get back. And just overall look like a horrible, horrible defending champion team. Like, against one of their premier rivals. I didn't expect that. I don't think anybody should have really expected that. I thought that Denver would take that matchup a little bit more seriously. I thought that they would be a little bit more locked in. Didn't really happen, at least not yet. We will see whether Denver brings a different level of intensity going forward in this series. We'll see if they're capable of that. I think that that's one of the things that I'm not actually sure about, based off of the injuries, based off of the shallowness to their depth, based off of how much effort it took them in the regular season just to get to where they are now. And I think that there's at least some worry to that, at least enough worry that people should be like wary, but not like, you don't have to panic immediately. You just got to keep it in the back of your head that, like, look, you don't know, not every team gets to defend their championship like with a repeat champion. Like, it hasn't happened in the last 5 years for a reason. This is really, really hard. And Denver's going to have to dig deep here. So we'll talk about it all. I'm very curious to see how everybody reacts to this, what the comments are like. See, there's a lot of awesome folks in here. Big Namek is here, says Ryan the GOAT. Jonathan says, my broski, Ryan. Caleb says, longtime listener, first time tuning in. What's up, Brian? Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. See, Cedric's in here as well. Fernando is in here as well. Just a lot of nice things for people to say. And excited for people to be able to react to for this together, because this is what the playoffs are all about, right? You go through adversity. You go through tough situations. We'll talk about that in a later segment. First, though, I want to do, and this is part of the new business, folks, betonline.ag. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season with MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. They give you all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. If you're a Nuggets fan, get the latest odds and lines on the series, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, let's go through the game flow from yesterday. I put together a little bit of a rundown here on the game flow. The 18-4 slow start. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw my reaction and you saw the reaction to the reaction, especially after Denver immediately decided to put together an 11-0 run and then a 21-5 run to take the lead into the quarter, which was hilarious. Denver gets off to that 18-4 deficit and absolutely looked like they had no business beyond the same floor as Minnesota initially. They found a way to dig deep. They got back into it immediately. And the two players that I think you got to give the most credit to in that situation, Reggie Jackson and Justin Holliday, who came in off the bench over Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, who are, I think, the two guys that people mostly expected for bench contributions, especially in this series. No, it was Reggie Jackson and Justin Holliday, the two veterans who came off the bench and absolutely changed the flow. The plus minus bears it out, by the way. For those two guys on the game, plus 19 for Justin Holliday in 16 minutes, plus 15 for Reggie Jackson in 14 minutes. And it wasn't necessarily about the scoring, because that's not their responsibility. For Reggie, it kind of is. But for Justin, he grabbed 4 rebounds in 4 minutes, made some defensive plays on Anthony Edwards. Actually, the matchup data says that he was the only guy that actually had any impact on Anthony Edwards, who scored 43 points, as you all well know. But Reggie Jackson finishes off the quarter really well, gets Denver into a nice flow, and everything stabilizes, and it looks okay. And Denver finds a way, 25-23, heading into the second quarter. And then the T-Wolves kind of start to roll a little bit. Denver can't really score. Neither team can really score, though. And Denver, they get away with some shots. They get away with some open shots that they give up in that second quarter to guys like Mike Conley, Jaden McDaniels. Karl Towns missed one on Nikola Jokic, you just had him on an island, decided to pull up from 20 feet on the baseline because he can. And there's just a lot of possessions like that where Minnesota, they didn't punish Denver in ways that I think that they can going forward, but Denver took advantage. And that's what happens when Minnesota, they are an experienced team, but they're not a perfectly experienced team. And so they're still going through this. They're probably still amped. So they got away from their process a little bit and Denver took advantage. And they took a 44-40 lead into the first half, despite the fact that Murray had a scoreless first half. He couldn't get anything to go. He had 0 points and 2 assists and was horrible, frankly, on both ends of the floor in that. And if you're a Nuggets fan, you honestly had to feel pretty good about being up 4 with that kind of production from Jamal, because you know that he's a second half player. You know that he's going to show up in that moment and he will improve in that, not necessarily be awesome, but he still found a way to be impactful in the second half. Michael Porter, by the way, played 15 straight minutes to begin each half. That's the 12 minutes to begin the first quarter and the 12 minutes to begin the third quarter. And then he started the fourth quarter he sat out for 8 seconds at the end of the third quarter. So technically he got an 8-second break on a defensive possession. But outside of that, he basically played 15 straight minutes in each quarter, each half, and then got some breaks during the middle of the second, middle of the fourth. And that's where Denver struggled a little bit outside of like Porter was there for most of the good stuff. And he's going to be a key player for Denver. He's got to be on the floor to space out Rudy Gobert, and he's got to stop isolating Rudy Gobert unless he's pulling up as a jump shooter over the top of him. But if he can do that and take him out of the paint, Denver's going to benefit. Absolutely. Even if he's not the one shooting the basketball, and he's got to know that. So I think that'll be a good thing that they can change. But Denver, heading into the third quarter, I think you had to feel pretty good about where they were. And then the third quarter actually played out, and Denver didn't bring any defense. They didn't bring any defense to the party in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, frankly. And Michael Malone noted it during the postgame. 71% from the field in the second half, I believe, was the number. It's just not good enough. And frankly, an embarrassing number for Denver to give up. And a lot of that was on Denver's two stars, Murray and Jokic. Now, there's stuff that KCP can't necessarily give up, or he's going to give up because he was the sacrificial lamb last night guarding Anthony Edwards for most of the time. That's a really tough matchup, obviously. But if you're Denver, you gotta understand that you gotta double and get the ball out of his hands. And Denver's defensive discipline and their commitment to the game plan and their ability to execute said game plan just wasn't good enough, because they, in general, were either giving up wide open threes to the T-Wolves, or they were giving up one-on-one possessions to Anthony Edwards. There wasn't really that much in between in the second half, and the T-Wolves did not feel them. And it's why guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, Mike Conley, and Naz Reid got so hot, because they were shooting practice jumpers for the most part. Now, Karl Towns made some impressive shots. I will say that he had some drives to the basket. There was one on the baseline. There was a nice, weird kind of flip shot that he had over Jokic that he made. And these guys are talented. They're going to make those kinds of shots. You're not going to, maybe they made a couple extra that they shouldn't have made. But for the most part, you got to expect that that's what's going to happen. So Denver had to bounce back, and they had an opportunity. In the fourth quarter, Murray had scored 7 points in the third quarter, and he scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. And much of that came in the first 8 or so minutes of the fourth quarter. And he kind of ran out of steam. Clearly the calf is bothering him. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But Jokic also had a lot of opportunities throughout this game. He shot 11 of 25, and a lot of those possessions were either self-created opportunities in the post or pick and pops from three. And just going back, before this podcast, I watched every single Jokic shot. He probably should have shot 16 of 25, and he shot 11 of 25. These are shots that he's supposed to make. These are shots that, if he's the MVP, if he's that dude, he's going to make them the next time. And he probably will. But I think that as much of the blame game has been put out on a lot of different people, and it's been put out on a lot of different people, I think Jokic has to share some of it too, because there are Jamal, and this is the one that is the other main thing, in my opinion. It is not Jamal's offense. It is Jamal's defense. His defense was terrible in this game. And that is where he's just going to have to dig deep and be better, because if he can't stay in front of Mike Conley, then the T-Wolves are going to see that, and they're going to be like, hey, you know what's a good idea? Let's do a guard-to-guard screen and force him to guard Anthony Edwards. That seems like a good idea. And that's just going to compromise the Nuggets defense over and over and over again. Now, Jokic obviously was also a sieve on the defensive end in the second half. But I'm just thinking about the shots, and I'm thinking about there are plenty of these opportunities that Jokic had as a pick-and-pop shooter that he had on jump hooks and these slight little fadeaway shots that he made a business of making against the Lakers at times, but also just these are shots in the regular season that he usually hits. And these are the shots that playoff guys have to hit. And Jokic, I think, has to hit it. So we'll talk about that in a little bit more in the second segment. And I have some takes there, clearly. But I am of the mind that Denver starters are where this game is really going to be about. I think that as we watch this first game unfold, that the bench guys can come in and play different roles and find an opportunity. Like they can find an opportunity to impact the game. Peyton Watson had some impact. He did airball a three really badly, but he had some good defensive impact. Reggie Jackson had an impact. Justin Holiday had an impact. Christian Brown had an impact. He made a three. And frankly, he also thought he was the second best man on defender against Anthony Edwards. So there are opportunities for those four guys to play a role within this series, more so maybe than last series. So it's going to be on the starters, in my opinion, because that lineup that Denver has been so prideful of, the starting group, got cooked, just absolutely flambéed in this last game. And I think that it's going to be about the starters changing that narrative, changing that tone. And we will see whether they're capable of doing that. I think they are. But I also think that the T-Wolves are the starting lineup that is built to counter Denver's starting lineup. So it's going to be their toughest task. I already said that, and I believed it. And I think that you all, after seeing that first game, probably going to believe it too. So let's see. Let's see how Denver responds. When we come back, I want to talk about the Murray-Jokic dynamic, because there is a lot of blame that's being assigned to Murray right now. And some of it is fair. Some of it's probably not fair. And we're going to talk about that dynamic on the other side. But first, got to tell everybody about our friends over at Autograph, who are the best in the business when it comes to an app that puts out amazing content for real fans. Autograph is where real fans get unreal rewards by bringing the best content to your team in one place. They're an app that can recognize and reward fans for just being fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. Read articles from your favorite team's blogs and your favorite writers like me, and listen to your top podcast hosts. Maybe listen to Pickaxe and Roll within the Autograph feed. Level up and unlock unique rewards, whether it's merchandise, discounted tickets, anything that's curated exclusively for Nuggets fans. All you got to do is sign up or use that QR code and sign up using the promo code MHS. That lets them know that you came from us and that you really enjoy the content. Thank you so much for doing so. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. I like to do these podcasts with a little bit of space after losses. And sometimes the job doesn't allow me to do that because, look, people want the immediate reaction content. The best, the most viewed content is often the stuff that's posted immediately after the game, gets the most eyeballs. I understand that. I don't necessarily always want to play the content game. And it allowed me, I think, to take 24 hours to really evaluate what happened and hopefully to give you a better podcast than what I would have delivered immediately after the game. I'm glad I did. My friend Matt Moore, apparently he, and I didn't listen to the show because I wanted to get some distance from the Nuggets earlier today. He podcasted last night on Locked On about Jokic and kind of blaming Jokic a little bit. At least blaming him a little bit more than maybe the Serbian fan base decided they wanted Jokic to be blamed. And I can understand why people want to blame Murray. I can understand why people want to pin the problem on anything other than Joker. And there are certain things that I think the criticism is fair. Big Namek says, I think the vast majority of the Jamal criticism is fair. We can't give him the amount of responsibility he's had, but his decision-making has been poor and maybe overlooked due to the game winners. There are some decisions that he has made that I think have been problematic. But if you go back and look at the numbers, and you just think about it from a statistical perspective, Jamal Murray had one turnover. He had four assists. He had one turnover, 17 points, 6 of 14, 2 of 4 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line. Overall, it's a fine game. It's not like a tremendous game. And maybe the plus-minus tells a better story than that because he was minus 22. Now, his minutes were basically tied to Aaron Gordon, and I think that is a more symbiotic problem, symptomatic problem for what the Nuggets are facing against the T-Wolves specifically than maybe what Murray's going through. Because Murray took 14 shots. He was a lower usage guy because that's what the calf is going to force him into. The calf is not going to give him a bunch of opportunities to make an impact, especially, and we knew this going into this series, especially when he's being guarded by Jaden McDaniels and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who are two of the top perimeter defenders in the entire NBA. What really is happening, in my opinion, is the onus is being put onto Jokic more than it usually is, where Murray just can't take up some of the burden. And Jokic is being forced to take up more. And the amount of times that he tried to go ISO, that he tried to take either Naz Reid or Karl Anthony Towns specifically one-on-one, and then settled for a 10-foot flailing jump hook slash fadeaway shot was probably a little bit too much. Those are shots that he generally turns into better possessions than not. Usually those are the ones that he can take those opportunities and turn them into something. The problem is that Rudy Gobert is forcing him to take those shots from 10 feet and not from 6 feet, which is where he's more comfortable for obvious reasons. Rudy Gobert is playing half defense on Joker, half defense on Aaron Gordon. And so usually what people are going to want in that situation, what other folks have specified as what they'd want in that situation, is for the pick and roll to occur, is for Jamal to be able to get downhill a little bit better, for him to put a little bit more pressure on the rim. But the problem is that Rudy Gobert is still waiting at the rim. He's still there. And that's not going to change whether Jamal is hurting with his calf or not. And Jamal still only shot 6 of 14. It was okay. It was okay. It was fine. Was it great? No. But I don't want to put all of the onus on Jamal because I don't think that's fair. We knew going into the series that Joker would have to do more even before we even thought about a calf injury. And like we talked about, there's been a lot of conversation about Jamal's defense. Jamal's defense has to be better. That's where I would definitely focus in on. Because if he can't guard, as I mentioned in the first segment, if he cannot guard Mike Conley, who, by the way, had 0 points in the first half, I want to make that clear. Mike Conley had 14 points in the second half, and he was great. He blew by Jamal multiple times, but more than anything, it was his drives and then his dishes to kickouts for threes or cutters or things like that, shots in the pick and roll. it was those shots that were killers for Denver, even more so than Anthony Edwards. Because Edwards, like, you just are going to have to live with it. Now, there are things that Denver can do that they could try to make work. But the more that they double Anthony Edwards, the more that they put other guys into rotation, and the more ground that guys like Jamal Murray are going to have to cover, that guys like Nikola Jokic are going to have to cover. Jokic doesn't cover ground that well. Jamal, especially right now, doesn't cover ground that well. And so those two specifically are going to be really big pivot points on the defensive end. And they were both equally horrible defensively in the third and fourth quarters. And that's just going to have to change if Denver wants to win this series. And Jamal at least has an excuse of having a strained calf. Jokic does not have said excuse. He's got to be better. He's either got to be better on the offensive end or be better on the defensive end. Ideally, he'd be better at both. But, like, it's just a heavy burden to do that. So I understand, like, Denver's got to have to insulate him in some ways. And that's where Aaron Gordon comes into effect. Because Aaron Gordon, he's got to take some pressure off in some ways. Somehow. He's got to do it for the Jokic-Murray two-man game, where he's in the dunker spot and then can take advantage of Rudy Gobert having to step up. And there were a couple times where he did it, but there was also a couple of key plays where Jokic tried to look for him on that Murray pocket pass to Jokic. Jokic lobs it over the top to AG, and Rudy Gobert actually broke it up. It was a really impressive play. And I honestly think that the thing that you got to take away from that is that you just got to give credit to the Timberwolves. And you got to know that this is not going to be easy. And Denver is going to have to dig deep, and they're going to have to play better than they did in the first round, and certainly better than they did versus the T-Wolves last year in the playoffs. This is a better T-Wolves team. This is a much better T-Wolves team with more reinforcements and much more confidence. Rudy Gobert is also healthier. And I think that makes a big difference. He's moving incredibly well. And he is, like, I know that the players don't necessarily respect him as much. Good Lord, that guy can defend. He is so good. He is so, so good. Yeah. We're going to find out. And Drew Teller says here, Jokic was 9 of 16 on twos. Can't ask for more the way that they guard him. I think you can, personally. I really think you can. And you want to know why that is? Because Jokic is the best player in the world. And he makes a living on in-between shots. That's who he is. He is the 8 to 12 foot king. He is the guy who, in that zone, finds an opportunity to make shots consistently. And always does. Always delivers. Or at least he has. I think it is completely fair to ask Jokic to be the best player in the world. There are some possessions that he missed. There are some jumpers that he missed. He was 2 of 9 on threes, but he was 1 of 8 until the final three that he attempted, which was out of sight, out of mind for the game. And in my opinion, this was a wake-up call for everybody, but also Jokic. Jokic is rebounding. Like, he only had 9 rebounds. Or 8 rebounds, excuse me. He actually was upgraded to 9 assists. I'm not sure where that extra assist came from. But, like, what are we talking about, folks? Jokic had 9 assists to 7 turnovers. He was minus 12. He had 8 rebounds when he is averaging 16 during the playoffs. And the T-Wolves out-rebounded Denver 42-34. And the T-Wolves held Denver to 3 offensive rebounds. Part of that, by the way, is on Aaron Gordon. And I want to keep, like, I wrote about this. I wrote about Aaron Gordon being the X factor in this series. So this is as much of a commentary on him as it is on Jokic. It is those two digging deep and finding an opportunity to pick up a player who's clearly hurt. And there are other guys that can do that too. KCP, did he shoot three times in the game yesterday? Four times. Two of four. Two of four from three. Michael Porter, 6 of 13, 4 of 7 from 3. He's going to have to shoot a little bit more too. Jokic shot 25 times, and I shared this stat online. The Nuggets are now 4 and 14 when Jokic has 25 plus shots in the playoffs. 4 and 14 as a team. That to me is insane. And it's not all from the Murray-less time, the Porter-less time during 2021 and 2022. There are games, even during last playoff run, multiple of them. And it is a stylistic thing with Denver that sometimes when the opposing team puts more pressure on Jokic to be a scorer, they can struggle. And so it is going to be very interesting to see how they respond. And we're going to talk about on the other side the best ways for them to improve. But I do think that as everybody runs to blame everybody else, it is important to put an adequate, not overly, an adequate amount of blame on everybody involved, including the best player, including the head coach, including the general manager, including the second best player, including the third best player. It is a team. It is everybody. And it is important, in my opinion, to not become Philadelphia 76ers fans who will go out of their way to blame everybody but the problem. Don't do that. Hold yourselves accountable. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Denver can win game two.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Final segment, pickaxe and roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support. I know that I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but I appreciate the nice and very awesome chat that has developed here. It's always, this is my favorite comment from this last segment. All caps, I love it when media still disrespect the Jokic and the Nuggets because it makes it more sweet when the Nuggets win it all. Look, I love it. I would love for the Nuggets to win it all. I really would. I think it would be great. It would be awesome. It's just important to do what you can to be honest about what's actually happening. And if I'm being honest about the Murray situation, it's that Denver can't really control that. And they have to find a way to overcome it because the situation isn't always going to be perfect for the team. It was perfect last year. The team was in a perfect situation and everything lined up and the run was pretty weak if we're being honest. And there wasn't this kind of version of a team like the Timberwolves or if the Boston Celtics were to make it to the finals, the Boston Celtics or anything like that. And it's going to be interesting to see how Denver responds to adversity. This is the first adversity, and I noted this last night. This is really the first adversity that they have faced since the bubble. It's the first time that, like, because you can't really count, and this is for a healthy Nuggets team, because obviously during the non-Murray years, during the non-Porter year, there was no reason to, nobody could justify it. Really holding Denver accountable for that, like holding Jokic accountable for that. But during the bubble, Denver goes down 3-1 multiple times, and they had adversity in that situation. They had a lot to prove. And what do? They rose to the occasion. They were great. They came back multiple times. And frankly, they gave the Lakers a pretty solid five games. They nearly won game two. They nearly won game four and game five. They had opportunities, didn't ultimately work out. But they gave themselves a chance in that series, and they were very, very, like, they put a lot of pressure. That was how they responded to their last time facing adversity. And I wonder what they do in this opportunity, because let's face it, they have not been a team that has been as hungry this year as they were last year. They've taken care of business. But if we're being honest, like, they could have won a lot of the games that they won in the regular season by 26 points rather than 12 points, or 46 points rather than 22 points. If they really wanted to, they could have done it. And I'm very curious to see what a loss in a situation like this looks like, and whether they can conjure up that same hunger, that same drive that drove them during last year's run, but also in previous iterations where they're actually down, because this is the first time that they've been down in a series in a long, long time when they were healthy. So we'll see what happens. This group, I think that they're capable of it. Let's talk about how they do it. The first thing, when we talk about game two adjustments, the first thing you got to do, and this is what coaches do, by the way, they discuss, was the game plan from the first game bad, or did the players just play bad? And I think it's a combination of both. The players were bad, especially the starters. There were a lot of things that they did not get right, and Denver couldn't execute the game plan that was put out there. Part of that was because the game plan could probably be better. Part of that was because Denver doesn't necessarily have the right personnel to guard a guy like Anthony Edwards. Part of that is because the Wolves have the personnel to make Denver's best stuff way harder than it usually is. And so I think you got to balance it out between, okay, how much better should the Nuggets be trying to play here? How much better can they play versus what do they have to change? I think that Murray can just play better. Whether the health is going to hold him back or not, we'll see. He's a guy who, if he can dig deep and help them get a game, they're going to get 3 days off heading into game three. They'll get Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to be able to rest, recover, and figure it out. You got to dig deep and win game two, because if you go down 0-2 heading back to Minnesota, you're effectively dead. Like, coming back from that is really, really difficult. And Denver, in my opinion, does not have the reserves, like the energy reserves, and also the personnel in order to come back from an 0-2 deficit with three of the four games on the road. Three of the five games, excuse me. So game two becomes a must win. It's a must win situation. The starters have to be better, or does Denver stagger a little bit differently? Do they decide that rather than playing the starters for 7 minutes, like they do generally, like as somebody who runs the rotation charts, they run it they run the starters about 7 to 8 minutes every single first quarter. That clearly did not work well this first time. Denver did not have the personnel and they were not ready. And frankly, they haven't been ready all playoffs. And that is on the starters, not one player, not two players, the five players. So do they adjust that? Can the starters themselves play better? I mean, they should be able to. What's the difference between playing well in the third and fourth quarter versus playing well at the beginning of the game? I don't know. But I wonder if Denver could get off to a better start. Or I wonder if maybe the answer, do you bring in Christian Brown? Do you bring in Justin Holiday? Do you bring in Peyton Watson a little bit sooner? Do one of those guys guard Anthony Edwards instead of KCP? Is the sub KCP for one of those guys? Or do you take out Aaron Gordon? Do you take out Aaron Gordon a little bit sooner and try to find a better way to deploy him? Because I got to be honest, AG's the one. You go back and look at the film. You go back and look at the possessions that Denver had. And the amount of times that Gobert is able to contest shots around the rim or prevent shots around the rim because he is helping off of Aaron Gordon is a big deal. And I wonder if the T-Wolves decide that they want to mirror Gobert's minutes with Gordon just as much as they want to mirror his minutes with Jokic. Because Gordon and Jokic, their minutes are off kilter a little bit because Gordon is the backup center in a lot of these sets or in a lot of these rotations. And it wouldn't surprise me if the T-Wolves decide, you know what, we're just going to make it hell for Gordon specifically. And that actually might be a good idea. So if you're Denver, the way that Denver got back into it, they were able to move Michael Porter to the four. They had KCP at the two and Justin Holiday at the three, Reggie Jackson at the one, Jokic at the five. And they were able to space out not just Gobert, but then they were able to take advantage of Kyle Anderson and Naz Reid and even Karl Anthony Towns in that situation, because those guys couldn't really keep up when Denver spaced out the floor a little bit. Now, Denver can't play five out. It's not who they are. They're going to have to get pressure on the rim in some way. But I kind of like the idea of Michael Porter at the four. Does Denver have the personnel to be able to do that? I don't know. We'll see. But that's one thing. That's one thing I'm thinking about. Whether that's a starting situation, whether that's an in-game adjustment, or maybe it's a closing lineup. Does Aaron Gordon close the game? I don't know. We'll have to find out. Peyton Watson only played 6 minutes, and they were all in the second quarter. He did not come in until, I think, like 9 minutes to go in the second quarter and then played for about 6 minutes and then came out. It was a very weird rotation. He was a plus two in those minutes. He grabbed 4 rebounds. He airballed a three and then couldn't finish at the rim over size and looked pretty weak trying to do it. He did change some shots on the defensive end, which was good, but there were some possessions where Denver's offense got bogged down because Peyton Watson was out there. So he's going to have to be better, and he's going to have to be more confident taking that three. He's going to have to find a way, because if he can't shoot, and if Aaron Gordon can't shoot, and if Christian Brown is only willing to take one or two a game, then Denver's just not going to have enough spacing. It's one of the reasons why Justin Holiday is so important. Stargirl. I'm looking for. Okay. That's it. Should be okay. Okay. If it keeps happening, I'll do it. I think that that is one thing that Denver's going to have to figure out. They got to find a way to space out a little bit better. Because if there is one thing that you can point to, say, okay, Denver can do this reasonably well. 13 of 31 from three, 42% basically. Denver shot 42% from three. Maybe they should try to get more threes up. And here's the thing. When you've got Rudy Gobert out there and he's protecting the rim, it's not a bad idea. Shoot some threes. Hit some threes. Michael Porter was 4 of 7. He should be trying to get up 10. Let's go get you 6 of 10 from three. The real key is Jokic, because if he shoots 4 of 9 from three, it's a different game. So he's got to be better too. Yeah, should be interesting. Last couple things. The Murray-Jokic two-man game, it has to find its stride earlier. if there's one thing that I think Murray should be criticized for on the offensive end, is that he takes too much time to get into rhythm. He's trying to ease into the game. He's trying to figure out exactly how he's going to attack the game. That can't be the thing. He has got to be a killer, and he's got to be a killer early. And he can't give too much respect to Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Rudy Gobert and guys like that. He's got to attack them, and he's got to be decisive. And if he can be decisive and force the Minnesota defense to rotate to him, it helps everybody else. That's where Murray can be better. 0 points and two assists in the first half is unacceptable. It just is. And that put Denver behind the eight ball, and they only scored 44 points and a half, where they probably could have scored way more. And if they did score way more, they might have won the game. So I think that that's a problem, and it's a problem that Murray can solve. It's a problem that Jokic can also solve too. But so much of the Murray-Jokic two-man game, it does start with Murray. And if he can draw the attention away from Jokic just a little bit more than the criticism that I had for Jokic, he could have shot 16 of 25. It becomes that much more likely that he does shoot 16 of 25 if Murray can take away the attention a little bit. The seven turnovers that Jokic has, it goes down to five. The shots go in a little bit more. Murray's got to do a better job of setting the table for Joker. He can do it. He's got to do a better job. And finally, just compete, man. You just got to compete. You got to find a way to dig deep. If this is it, if this is the title right here, then we're going to find out whether Denver's made for it or not. We're going to find a way. And I am looking forward to seeing what it is. I predict that Denver bounces back and gets game two. I think that they are built for this. I don't want to sit here and bemoan the fact that, hey, they didn't come out and they didn't win the first game. That's right. That's what happened. The words of the brother Michael Irvin. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Can Denver bounce back? Can they have some attitude? Can they have some desire to like actually care about a game one? It felt like that Lakers series, they did not care. They knew that they would get through it. It was just a slog. It was about grinding through it. It was like, oh man, they make you think. Oh, it's tough. I think that Denver's going to bounce back because I know this team. And I would be extremely disappointed in them if they just fell over and died, because they are a championship team. We've seen their championship medal. We've seen them rise to the occasion on so many opportunities. Fight for it, man. Act like you want to be there. You gonna let Anthony Edwards score 43 and get proclaimed as Michael Jordan on your home floor without anything to say about it? Other than, oh yeah, he's pretty good. Figure it out. Figure it out. I think that Denver's going to bounce back. I think that they'll make it happen. But it's on them. It is on them entirely. They cannot expect Minnesota to perform worse. They cannot expect Minnesota to take their level down to where Denver's level is at right now. Denver has to go from here to here. If they don't, then we'll know that this is not the year. Denver is a great basketball team. It is really hard to repeat as a champion. There's a reason why it hasn't happened since the Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors, when you had the second and third best players on the same team. That's like, it's understandable. It is understandable why it hasn't happened. Will Denver be the team that breaks that mold this game? And then how they respond in Minnesota will determine exactly that. Folks, that is going to do for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Autograph and at Bet Online. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support. Oh, and by the way, number 38. I want to make sure to mention this because number 38 has been sponsoring Mile High Sports, has been doing a great job for us. If you don't have a place to watch the game, go to number 38 tomorrow because they are doing a great job of putting together a venue that's fun to be at, but also a great atmosphere and also has great food and also has great drinks. We'll be doing pregame shows for each of the road games, game 3 and game 4. I'll be in Minnesota, funny enough, very exciting. I'll be in Minnesota for those games, but come out for game 2 or game 3 or game 4. Enjoy the vibes, enjoy the atmosphere. There's a lot of pressure. Number 38 can help you get you through it. Get through it with friends. It's better that way. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button on the way out. Let everybody know that you love this show. I really appreciate all y'all being here. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.